listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, good morning. Hi, I'm Ryan, and this is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We're the lead pastors here at Calvary. We are delighted for you to be here on a Sunday morning. Isn't it a beautiful day outside? It's awesome. We're so glad. Some people are laughing. Man, I think it's awesome. We're so glad you are here. We're a growing community, okay? We're a growing community here. We're all about one thing, Jesus. It's what we're about. So we're glad you're here to join us this morning as we celebrate Jesus. And our goal, our mission, our vision here at Calvary is to help as many people in Seattle as we possibly can, both find and follow Jesus. What do you think about that, baby?
I think today's going to be really exciting. Baptism Sunday is always my favorite. If you're like me, whenever I attend a wedding, especially if you're married, it's always so fun because you watch this young couple commit their lives to each other for the first time. And for me, as a married person, I find myself rededicating my vows to my husband internally. Can you guys relate to that where it's like, yeah, me too. I still love my husband. I'm still committed. This is awesome.
I'm glad about that, by the way.
I find myself doing that at a wedding, and I feel like baptisms have that same potential for us where as we're watching a new believer say, I'm all in, it's almost as if we, as seasoned believers sometimes, are just saying, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's just a check back in with, yeah, I affirm my commitment too. And so this is exciting both for our baptism candidates and for all of us too to celebrate.
Awesome. It's going to be a great day. Anybody appreciate Pastor Linnea? Yeah, I know I do. Hey, I also want to say happy National Singles Day. So if you're single today, I want to remind you that Jesus, who we follow, was the world's greatest single to ever walk the planet. Amen? So hey, singles, it's all good. And if you're looking for somebody, I just want to encourage you to focus on becoming the person you're looking for is looking for. Focus on you and Jesus. Pray about that. I remember praying about Linnea before I ever met her. So happy National Singles Day. We love you, singles. Also want to remind everybody, National Voter Registration Day on Tuesday. We believe in voting here in this country, right? Yes. Well, I just want to say, too, we get to, in the great city of Seattle, we get to register another voter this week, and his name is Bryce, because my son is turning 18 tomorrow. Can you believe that? What? How do I have an 18-year-old? Well, this week, this marks the third week of our Jesus Loves Seattle sermon series. We're so glad you're here with us in this growing community of Calvary. Jesus Loves Seattle is the series that we're in. This morning, we're going to be focusing on why follow Jesus. Why follow Jesus? So every week we've had different questions. I don't know if you've been following this, but every week there's different questions from does prayer really work to what's God's will for my life? This week we're looking at the question, why follow Jesus? Our portion of scripture that we're going to be jumping into, everything we do is about God's word here. And we look at the 8th chapter in Acts today. So if you've got your Bibles, go with me there. Acts chapter 8, we're going to be picking it up at verse 26. We're going to be talking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I love this story. The big idea this morning is that everyone has a part to play in following Jesus and sharing his love with Seattle. Again, the big idea, the overarching theme and idea this morning as we look at Scripture is that everyone has a part, both you and me, to play in following Jesus and sharing his love with Seattle. Let's go to Scripture. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, says this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "Well, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture from Isaiah. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him there. This portion of Scripture, I love it for a couple of reasons. This story, I'm just intrigued that in the Bible there's a story about a eunuch and how he found Jesus by way of a friend. You know, not too long ago, Gavin was playing at school, and this in particular day was a day that I volunteer at the school. I like to volunteer at local schools in the community, and so I was on my way to school to volunteer, and I get a call, and the school, I recognize it's the school, they call and they say, "Oh, Mr. Bunbury, are you on your way?" I said, "Yes, I'm almost there." They said, "Oh, good, because Gavin got hurt. He's in the nurse's office." I thought, "Whoa, my goodness, what happened?" She said, "Hurry, get here quick." So we hang up the phone. I was pulling into the parking lot. I run inside, and lo and behold, there's Gavin is icing his pinky. I said, "What happened?" "Well, he broke my pinky, Dad." "Well, how did you break it?" "Playing Gaga Ball." Anybody know what Gaga Ball is? Yeah, we got a couple of hands. Any Gaga Ball players in here? Right? Okay, yeah. Well, here's what happens. Gaga Ball is an extremely competitive sport. It involves a ball. It involves jumping around. It involves staying in. You want to stay in. You want to win. Whatever you do, you want to win. A very aggressive game. Well, what happened was Gavin, when he was playing, he had gone down, and when he went down at the same time, somebody went down with their foot, and they smashed his pinky, bending it out and breaking it. Now, one would think that if you break something, you'd say, "I'm done." No, there was a game to be won. So my Gavin stayed in until he was done with the game. A broken pinky and all. So we're sitting there, and the nurse, and we said, "Well, what should we do?" The nurse looks up the closest ER. We go on our way. Long story short, he broke his finger. And at the doctor's office, we were referred to another doctor who specialized in broken bones. So we're sitting down now with the specialist in his office. Wouldn't you know what his name was? Dr. Pastor. You can't make this stuff up. So Dr. Pastor is telling us about the makeup of a broken pinky. And mind you, this is before summer vacation, so all Gavin can think of is, "Matt, I want to swim, and I'm going to be in a cast possibly, and this is terrible, and oh my word." Well, Dr. Pastor tells us, he says, looks at the x-rays, and he says, there's a fix for this. He says, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes." He says, "We're going to do what we call a buddy wrap." Anybody ever had a buddy wrap? Okay, yeah, I see hands all around here. So you know what this is about. So the buddy wrap, Dr. Pastor said, he said two things. Number one, it's important that you know that the buddy wrap, the pinky, the broken finger, has to be connected to a healthy finger. The broken pinky has to be connected to a healthy finger, and you have to wrap it as tight as you possibly can. You want to keep that thing close because he says the deforming, Dr. Pastor's words, the deforming happens outward. Healing happens together. So he buddy wrapped him up. Look at this picture here. Isn't this cool? This one, I said, "Well, you know what? You got a butt. Let's go have Chick-fil-A," right? It's an excuse to go have Chick-fil-A. So there we are. We got Chick-fil-A. He's happy. And so buddy wrap. What does that have to do with anything we're talking about this morning except everything? This story in the 8th chapter of Acts is all about Philip buddy wrapping the Ethiopian eunuch. The craziest thing that we can do as Calvary Christian Assembly is to do nothing at all. Are there broken places in your life this morning that need healing? Are there broken places in the church, not just this church, capital C, the church, that require help? Are there broken places in Seattle demanding support? Let's think of three cognitive reflections this morning. They're in your notes. Number one, fill in. Do you see yourself in the narrative of the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you see yourself in the narrative of the Ethiopian eunuch? Think about this narrative and this story this morning and where you fit in. It's interesting, the Ethiopian eunuch, a eunuch in the Bible, somebody, if you don't understand eunuch, let me just explain to you. Eunuch means he was castrated. Eunuch means he was a man that didn't have his parts. It means, if I can be completely blunt here, a eunuch, it's in the Bible, please, is a man that has been dehumanized, some would say. A man that has been neutered. The Ethiopian eunuch. Castrated to serve perhaps as a social order and function. Maybe employed to guard the queen's finances, the word says. Maybe guarding those living areas of the official court and the royal palace. As you study the scripture, you find that this was actually normal for that role. It's an individual. The Ethiopian eunuch is an individual living in a state of without. It's interesting to me because in a culture that's so just pounding with LGBTQIA community and transgenderism and all these different things where people trying to find themselves. A lot of what I found is because I go to some of these meetings, you need to know, and I get to know some of these people in the LGBTQ community because you know what? They're people and Jesus loves people, so we love people. And no matter your background, your thought, or your process in this, they're people. We view people, all people, as people and not objects. The moment we start viewing people as objects, war begins to happen in our heart, doesn't it? It's in our spirit. And so this morning, it's no coincidence that we look at this story in the state of our culture, in the state of our great city of Seattle. A man who is living in a state of without. How many people are living in a state of without? Do you feel like you're living in a land of lack? Can you see yourself in the eunuch? Living without, a land of lack, maybe a lack of talent this morning. Maybe you feel like you have a lack of talent. Maybe you feel like you have a lack of skill or education. I'm not educated like I want to be. Or personality, you compare yourself and you're living with a lack of personality or a lack of finances and resources. Maybe a lack of friends. Maybe a lack of health. Do you feel like you don't have enough talent, strength, or ability to be useful? Can you see yourself in the narrative of the Ethiopian eunuch? The eunuch was on an emotional journey too, just like you and me, seeking God's purpose and plan for his life. How was he doing that? He went to the Word. Understand what he did here. In the Bible, it says he was reading Isaiah. Following Jesus means following his living and active word. No matter where you find yourself in this journey, let's take a look and take a note and take a lesson this morning from the Ethiopian eunuch. Look at this. Here's why we go to the Word, because the Bible says, next slide, that God's Word is living and active. It's alive. It's living and active. Every word in this good book here today is living and active. This man, next slide, the scripture says, the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. He went to the Word. He was searching. He was seeking. He needed answers. What did he do? He did as you and I ought to do. We go to the Word. It's curious to me in this narrative. Is it by chance, I ask myself as I study, and this morning let's reflect together. Is it by chance that the book of Isaiah, the eunuch was reading from, is the same prophecy message that would speak hope directly to his castrated situation? Directly. See, this is where the Word of God is alive and active, because it literally speaks right at your very point of need. It is so cool. In the mornings when I open the Word every morning, 5 a.m., I'm sitting down there in my living room and I'm reading, I'm having coffee with Jesus, and I open the Word, and every day without fail, it speaks directly to what I'm going through. Here's the same book he's reading from. Next slide says this, and make sure no physically mutilated person is ever made to think, I'm damaged goods. I don't really belong. It's the same book. See, you say you're damaged goods. We can all go around the room, and if we all had time to tell our stories, we could all just start comparing, right? We're some area in my life, I'm damaged goods. We say we're damaged goods, but God says otherwise. Look what else the Word says. The mountains may depart and the hills remove, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed. A lot of things were removed from the eunuch's life. But God says, don't ever worry about my love being removed. Don't you ever worry about my peace going anywhere, because I love you. See, a lot can be removed from you and I, but hope, the hope of Jesus, is always with us. God says this. He says, next slide, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, I will give them an everlasting name that will, read it with me, not be cut off. The good news is that God has everything you need. I found if I will just simply use what I do have, if I will just use what I do have, God will buddy wrap me. He'll come right alongside me, and he'll wrap his arms around me, and he'll buddy wrap me with a Philip-type buddy wrap, with a Dr. Pastor-type buddy wrap, and he'll unleash hope. That's the good news this morning. Jesus can heal every broken place in your heart with his Word. That's why Paul said, next slide, the Scriptures were written to teach and to encourage us by giving us, read it with me, hope. Paul encouraged the early church, one of my favorite scriptures, memorize this week, circle it in your notes. May the God of hope, next slide, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Three cognitive reflections. Do you see yourself in the narrative of the Ethiopian eunuch? Number two, do you see yourself in the narrative of Philip? Do you see yourself in the narrative of Philip? We read that Philip, buddy rapping, Jesus loving, gospel preaching, good news declaring Philip, he had a compassionate heart for the marginalized. He had a compassionate heart for those that were disregarded. He had a compassionate heart for the least of these in his city. Here's how we know that. You go to the text in the same chapter that we read the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It says this, next slide. Philip went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. And many who had been, look at this, paralyzed or lame were healed. Philip had a heart for the marginalized. Philip had a heart for the people that a lot of us just kind of pass right on by. Philip had a heart for people with a need. Philip, buddy rapping Philip. Next slide says this. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Why? Because if you know the story, he was about to engage the eunuch. I want to ask you a question this morning, church. Do you engage in conversation with the searching in Seattle? Some of the greatest conversations I have are with atheist and agnostic. Some of the most wonderful conversations I have are with those in the LGBTQ community who, by the way, are welcome in this place. Hear what I'm saying this morning. There is hope in Jesus. Some of my best conversations, like Jesus, who is ridiculed for talking with prostitutes and tax collectors and people. He would go have dinner with people that you and I would probably say, huh? Why? Why would he do that? Because he had compassion. We see that same heart of Jesus in Philip. We see that same desire of Jesus in Philip, who had compassion for the marginalized and the people in his city who needed God the most. This morning, do you have compassion to reach out to the marginalized, to reach out to the hopeless, to the loveless in our city? Spirit of the Lord said, go, Philip, to the chariot and stay near it. That's our mission. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go. Same vernacular, go, make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, go. It's our mission. We're all about mission. Matthew 28 here, to help as many people as we possibly can find and follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit, just like we read about in this text, will lead you toward open doors. He will. He will lead you toward open hearts, and by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will give you boldness to open your mouth and to be a light and to share bad news. No, that's not what Scripture says. To share good news, to share hope. So Philip says, next slide, he says, do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I? The eunuch responded. He says, unless someone explains it to me. Circle that word, someone. In the text, unless someone explains it to me. So the eunuch invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Let's reflect on this just for 1 minute this morning. Church, will you be the someone Seattle needs? How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? Will you be the someone that will buddy wrap the hurting, the marginalized, the pained, the dysfunctional, the hurting, the broken? Deforming happens outward, but healing happens together. Will you be someone Seattle needs? This is why Peter encourages later. He says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, what does he say? Read it with me. Always be ready to explain it. Always be ready. This morning, I'm encouraging you to dig deep, saints. If an agnostic comes to you tomorrow on Monday morning and asks, why do you follow Jesus? Can you answer it succinctly and articulately? If somebody comes to you and says, well, why do we get baptized in water? What is Jesus to you? Who is he to you? Why are you so happy? What is different about you? Always be ready, Peter says, just like Philip was. Not too long ago, I joined a Seattle running group right down here at Green Lake. And it was amazing because I go down one morning, and I happened, by happenstance, coincidence, right? It's like where William Temple, a former Archbishop of Canterbury, says, you know, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. Well, it was a coincidence that I happened to run into, literally, this group, the Seattle Running Group. And anyway, I start conversations. It's great for conversations. I found it's an amazing place to have conversations and to begin to engage people, to begin to tell people what my hope is all about. It's a great place to invite people to church. It's a great place. Are you engaged? Are you someone to Seattle? And by joining this running group, I've found that I have to always be ready to explain my hope. How do we do that? Stay prayed up. Stay in the Word of God. Stay ready to always be ready to explain. Always be ready advice. Here's my advice. My always be ready advice. Talk to God about people before talking to people about God. The eunuch asked Philip, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Who is this person that I'm reading about? The eunuch asked. I'm confused. I've racked my brain. It's not making sense to me. Phil, would you explain to me the who in this text? You see, this is what the gospel is all about. It's all about the big who in the text. Do you hear are your ears awake this morning? Can you hear the word of the Lord? This is what the gospel is all about. The big who is what the good news is all about. Who is the big who? Jesus. Jesus, creator. Jesus, sustainer. Jesus, savior. Jesus, healer. Jesus, provider. Jesus, deliverer. The big who this morning is Jesus, our forgiver. Jesus, so wonderful. Jesus, our counselor when we need one. Jesus, our mighty God. Jesus, our everlasting Father. Jesus, if you're anxious this morning, is your Prince of Peace. Jesus, omniscient. That's just a big theological word for all-knowing. He knows it all. He's the truth. Jesus, omnipotent. That's a big theological word that just means he's all powerful. With all his energy, you can do things that you couldn't do on your own. He is all powerful. Omnipresent, another theological word that just means he's everywhere at once. He's with you. He's with me. He can be in North Seattle. He can be in South Seattle. He can be from east to west to north to south. He's everywhere. He's God. He's omnipresent. Jesus, at the end of the day, Emmanuel, the Bible describes him and articulates him as Emmanuel. When it's all said and done, the last word is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The big who this morning is Jesus. The big who we run to is Jesus. And like I'm doing this morning, Philip, next slide, grabbed his chance, the word says, and began with that very passage of scripture the eunuch had asked him about and told the eunuch the good news about Jesus. He told him the good news about Jesus. Three cognitive reflections. Do you see yourself in the narrative of Philip? Lastly, how do you see yourself following Jesus in the narrative of Seattle? The third reflection this morning. How do you see yourself following Jesus in the narrative of Seattle? You see, Jesus loves Seattle. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? I said, Jesus loves Seattle, so we love Seattle. How do you see yourself following Jesus in the narrative of Seattle? The next slide, it says this. It says, I've got my hand on this city, read it with me, to save it. You see, I believe that there shouldn't be any person out there in our great city of Seattle who goes to bed at night not knowing that Jesus loves them and that there's hope for tomorrow. We clearly see in the story of the eunuch that all people matter to Jesus. Do all people matter to us? Whatever it takes, church. Feeding, clothing, housing, hospitalizing, employing, educating, encouraging, equipping, whatever it takes, we must help as many people as we can find and follow Jesus. In your notes, think about this question. What is one thing you can do today to be Jesus and unleash hope in Seattle? What is one thing? One thing. In your bulletin right here, there's these inserts. You notice that last week we started putting these in there for the remaining of this sermon series. These are invitation pieces. I've already given out a handful of these to neighbors and friends at restaurants and people that I meet and engage in conversation with. This is a great way to invite people to church. And when you invite people to church, don't project no before they even give an answer. There's hope in this place. Invite them, thinking that they'll say yes. Pray about it before you invite them. And here's the deal. We're not inviting them just to invite them. We're inviting them to introduce them to hope. I mean, that's why I invite people to church. I go, hey, man, this is where I found God. You got to come check it out. And you know the cool thing about that is when they know you'll be here, they'll be here. It's a great way to unleash hope in our city. It's a great first step that people, me included, need to find God. One thing that you can do this week to unleash hope in Seattle. Or perhaps this morning you are the one who's needing hope. Perhaps this morning you're the one who's needing a buddy wrap. I remember growing up, the most impactful moments in my life were when people came and put their arm around me and said, man, you're not alone. Let's walk this out together, and began answering questions that I had, like the eunuch. Man, I don't feel like I fit in. I feel like I'm doing everything in my power to understand this God thing. What do I do? What's next? How do I process? Reflection. And then they just come along me and they go, hey, man, what are your questions? I'm here to help you. My youth pastor did it. My mom did it. My dad did it. My pastor at the church I grew up in did it. Who's someone you can buddy wrap? If you need to be buddy wrapped, that's what this is all about. If you're searching and if you're seeking, you're in the right place this morning, man, because there are people here ready to welcome you and to talk with you and to process with you and to live it out together. That's what community is all about. I want to also mention that that's why we do groups. If you're looking to get in a group, this is the way. I've got a group today, Fitness at Calvary. We're meeting at 12:30 right outside in the front parking lot. If you want to walk Green Lake with us, grab lunch and walk Green Lake, there you go. You're welcome. You're involved. You're in your first group already, okay? So this is an amazing way to connect and do life together and to find a good person to buddy wrap and to be buddy wrapped with. This is my verse from a child. David said, you've been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. As for me, I will always have hope. It's like what Philip was unleashing with the eunuch. He goes, man, there's hope. This who you're asking about is Jesus. And he tells the story of Jesus and preaches the good news. The narrative continues. I love this. The next slide, it says this in the text. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, why shouldn't I be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So the eunuch answered, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip baptized him. They did it right there on the spot. So he introduces the eunuch to Jesus. The eunuch takes the next step and goes public. That's what baptism is all about. It's saying, you know what? I'm all in. I've decided to follow Jesus. I remember when I was baptized. That's what it was. I've decided to follow Jesus. And I want Seattle to know. I want the world to know that I'm a Jesus follower. I'm not ashamed. I'm excited. Why? Because I found hope. Because Jesus unleashed something in me from my youth, from the time I found him to right now where I'm standing in front of you. He's my hope. That's what baptism's all about. It's saying, man, I'm all in and I'm going public with my decision. Here's the cool thing, and we end with this. I love that the text finishes with this verse. It says, he had what he'd come for, speaking of the eunuch, and went on down the road, read it with me, as happy as he could be. I just love that verse. Did you know Jesus doesn't want you to be sad? Did you know that? Why do you think he unleashes hope? Why do you think he gives us a chance, a second chance, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, a millionth chance? Because he wants to fill your heart with joy and with peace. Would you bow your heads with me this morning in prayer? As happy as he could be. You see, men, women, boys, and girls who, no matter what our age is, who don't have joy and peace in our heart, you know what we do? With every head bowed and eye closed, we spend our life searching for it, don't we? Joy and peace, hope, something each of us needs. We so long for those things. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I've looked for joy and hope in a lot of places, guys, just like you. I've looked in acceptance of people. I just, if they accept me, if I have more friends, I've looked in thinking if I just have more friends, I'll find joy and I'll have peace, and that didn't really work. And I've looked in substance abuse. I've looked in food medicating. I've looked in overeating and undereating. I've looked in sex. I've looked everywhere. I've tried to find joy and peace in a lot of different places, in position and popularity, in status, in a job, in power. I've looked in a lot of places, haven't you? But you know what I found? I found that the only place that I find real joy and everlasting peace and hope is in my personal relationship with Jesus. This morning, I want to extend an invitation. This isn't an invitation from me. This is an invitation from God. And I'm extending an invitation this morning. If you found hope this morning and you want to follow Jesus with me, you want to follow Jesus and you want to give your heart to him this morning, you want to do this for the first time, the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. And I only ask you to raise your hand so I know who to pray for. One, two, three. Put your hand up if you found hope and you want to follow Jesus. One, two, three, four. Keep the hands up just so I can count and pray. Five. Any others? An invitation from God to follow Jesus. Awesome. You can put your hands down. Just in your heart, just pray this prayer with me this morning. Jesus, I come to you right now. I found hope this morning in the good news of your Bible. Jesus, would you come into my heart? Jesus, would you forgive me of my mistakes and my sins? I confess them all to you right now, Lord. I've made mistakes and I need you to come in and cleanse me. And Lord, would you, by living in my heart now and leading my life, God, would you help me to wholeheartedly follow you all the days of my life? I believe in you, Jesus. I believe, Jesus, you are God. And I thank you for coming into my life and for giving me hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we put our hands together and welcome to the family those who have accepted Jesus into their life? This is a wonderful thing.